Appeal 10-1405, Gross versus PPG Industries, and it's Mr. Gerard. They were wonderful, weren't they?
Terrific.
They're wonderful, really wonderful.
Good morning, Your Honors, Counsel. May it please the Court, my name is Thomas Gerard. I represent Mr. Gross in this appeal. This case was decided at summary judgment. The Court found that Mr. Gross had failed to sufficiently allege discrimination and retaliation in his complaint. The Court also interpreted benefit of employment not to include differential pay, and the Court dismissed the claims based on erroneous interpretation of Section 4311 of USERRA. To begin, did Mr. Gross, I'd like to focus on those three questions. One, did he sufficiently allege enough facts in his complaint to put PPG on notice of discrimination and retaliation? Number two, is differential pay in fact a benefit of employment under the USERRA? And number three, did the Court err in interpreting 4311? I think the answer to all these questions is yes.
Do we have to overrule Cruz to see this case your way?
No, Your Honor, you don't. The distinction between there's several distinctions between this case and Cruz, and I'll go into this in just a second, but the Court does not have to overrule Cruz. What the Court has to do is recognize that 4316 is not the appropriate mechanism by which to analyze the benefits of employment under 4311. Benefits of employment are defined in USERRA at 4303 at subparagraph 2.
But here's the problem. Cruz ultimately concluded that the statute reaches only discriminatory employment actions that result in fewer benefits for military employees. So what I've been trying to figure out ever since I, read the first brief here, is not including the fact that PPG did not agree with you as to how the differential pay should have been calculated. What's the adverse employment action? What was suffered after you complained about their method of calculating the military pay?
To answer your question, Your Honor, which started out about fewer benefits, what you lead to is a portion of the USERRA which provides for that people on military duty are not at a disadvantage when they return. That's what 4316 does. It's a re-employment. It establishes the escalator position that the employee has to come back to as if they had never left on duty. That puts them back where they need to be. They won't have fewer benefits than their peers, or as they would not have fewer benefits than if they had not left. That's what 4316 does. That's the error that the Court may have committed in Cruz. What I think it went wrong is that they used that escalator position standard to look at what benefits of employment are provided under 4311.
Yeah, but I really need an answer so I can sleep tonight.
All right. The answer.
What did you suffer? What adverse employment action has been suffered here?
Mr. Gross did not receive differential pay that he was promised when he went on military deployment. That's what he missed. He missed pay. And we look at 4303, we see that it defines benefits of employment.
That pay was not available to non-military employees.
That's the mistake of applying 4316. I'm sorry?
Isn't that what the case is all about?
The case is about whether or not differential pay is a benefit of employment, whether all benefits of employment fall.
Well, if it's not available to non-military employees, it isn't.
I would have to disagree, Your Honor. Benefit of deployment of employment is defined as any advantage, profit, status, or gain in interest. When Congress wrote USERRA, they recognized that other benefits of employment, if you look at 4302, other benefits of employment are contemplated by the USERRA. Congress said that USERRA does not restrict employers from offering benefits which are greater than the ones that are on the bottom floor for USERRA.
I just
to understand this, it looks to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, that PPG walks the extra mile and mm-hmm. gives a benefit mm-hmm. to military personnel when they're called for active leave that it does not have to give. And I would assume that they're in a minority. Most companies don't do something like that. So they give this benefit, and the claim is that in awarding that benefit, they only gave 80% of what they should have given, not 100%. Is that essentially what the claim
essentially,
is?
Yes, Your Honor. And the question and it drives up the idea that maybe Mr. Gross is slapping the hand that feeds him, or
no good deed goes unpunished. Yeah. But
that's really not the case. We look at the, I cited in the briefing, you look at Pepsi or Kohler versus Pepsi, that's exactly what we had there too. What we had in the Pepsi case is we had a military member who was promised a differential pay under a plan. Here we have an Attack on America plan.
Yeah, but this
here
is
we have a policy.
Contested in that case, right?
That, Your Honor?
Are you talking about the Sixth Circuit case?
Yes, Your Honor.
But this issue was not contested in that case.
And in Pepsi America,
it was conceded, I believe.
Yeah. Well, it was conceded on appeal, yes, Your Honor. But the court did point out the fact in its analysis that 4303 covers a benefit of employment. 4311 has any benefit of employment, and that's the proper analysis.
No, but in Pepsi Americas, the company completely disregarded its differential pay policy, didn't pay its employees at all for the time the fellow was serving in the military. I don't see how that can help your argument that you're entitled not just to differential pay, but differential pay calculated exactly how you would want it to be calculated, and that's your bottom line argument.
My bottom line argument, Your Honor. But in Pepsi, there's a couple other steps that occurred. He sat down and met with human resource professionals, with the commander from his unit, with the person who makes the final decision. They agreed to make the payment for differential pay in that case. They paid it, they deposited it in the bank account. A couple days later, they changed their mind and they pulled it back out. And then he had a state contract claim based on, and a state conversion claim based on that as well.
Well,
the time frame might be compressed to the 3 days between July 3 and July 6 where Mr. Kohler had a deposit in his account and was withdrawn. Here we have a process by which Mr. Cruz is preparing for deployment. He's told the plan, which is the Attack on America plan. He's told the policy. He's given a letter. He discusses his benefits with the human resources folks. He goes on deployment. While he's on deployment, he recognizes, hey, this is not what the promise was. And when he comes back, he starts working diligently to get that fixed.
Is there, by the way, I'm going to change the subject. Is there any evidence that PPG plans to seek costs in this case?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Is there any evidence that PPG plans to ask for costs in this case?
You'd have to ask.
That's part of your, argument.
Originally costs had been ordered.
I know that the judge ordered them, but they never asked for them, or not up to this date.
Your Honor, I was in trial counsel, and I only advised in the case at that time, but the timing was such, I believe, that we needed to have that in there in case if they did. I hope that answers your question.
Well, I'll ask you about it.
It looks like it's moot.
I would hope that they don't try to ask for costs. Back to my analysis, 4303 definitely includes benefit of employment, the entire definition. Differential pay has to fit within 4303. When we look at 4311, we know that a benefit of employment that can be denied in violation of 43 is any benefit of employment. And as noted extensively in the briefing and in the footnoting, any means all. It has to contemplate everything that's in 4303. It can't be a little piece of 4318, a little piece of 4312, and a little piece of something else. The statute has to be read for what it means. And
Weren't
in this case, it's not ambiguous.
Cruz and rejected?
What's that, Your Honor?
I say, weren't all these arguments made in the Cruz case and rejected?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I don't know that all these arguments were made. I wasn't present and I didn't read the briefing. But I do know where Cruz went wrong. Where Cruz went wrong is instead of, when it read 4311, It looked to 4316 to figure it
wrong,
out.
It's sort of irrelevant. It's the case. It's in the books. That's it.
That might be it, but that doesn't mean that it applies equally to this case.
Precedent,
there's tremendous distinctions between Cruz and this case. In Cruz, there was a scheduling preference. And there's a couple other distinctions. Number one, in Cruz, the folks that go on drill weekends, which we don't have here, had the choice. I could take vacation days and keep my drill pay, or I could just get my military leave unpaid. Or third, I could turn back in my military pay and get my regular pay at work. None of those are changed after the following of the Cruz decision. The policy in Cruz didn't affect, it may affect it. Looks like I'm out of my time. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
No, you can finish your thought. Don't.
The effect in Cruz was such that the employer could have escaped liability just by demonstrating that its actions would have been taken in absence of Mr. Cruz's protected status regardless. That's just reading 4311's defense alone. The actions that were taken in Cruz was a change in policy to make it even and fair for everybody, including the members who are in the military. None of the vacation trading off, none of turning back in your drill pay, none of those were ever taken away from the employees in Cruz.
Thank you very much,
Your Honor.
Hey, Mr. Aldana.
Good morning. May it please the Court, I'm Michael Aldana. I'm representing the defendant appellee PPG Industries this morning. And let me address the question that you asked, Judge Rovner, regarding whether or not PPG is going to seek costs. While the district court did order costs at the time that it dismissed the case below, PPG did not file a bill of costs, and it does not intend to seek costs at this stage because USERRA doesn't contemplate that.
So is it necessary to amend the judgment to reflect that each party is to bear its own costs?
I think the issue is moot since we never sought costs and no costs were ever ordered. But let me go back, unless there's any other questions on this issue of costs. Let me go to what the plaintiff's counsel argued and what he didn't argue. He argued a lot about Cruz. He argued a lot about whether 4311 applies, 4316 applies. What he didn't argue about was what the undisputed record below showed. And I think it's important to focus not just on abstractions, but what the record that was developed and that what Judge Stantmuller relied on actually reflects. As I believe one of the panel members said, PPG goes well beyond what USERRA requires. It provides almost 2 years under the amended Attack on America policy of pay differential to its military employees. Nothing under USERRA requires anything close to that level of benefit. And it did that voluntarily, and it's enhanced that benefit. And even after this case was commenced, or shortly around that same time, it enhanced it again. And so I'm not here to say that Mr. Gross can't complain if there's some discrepancy that he thinks. But I do want to point out to the Court that it's undisputed, and plaintiffs acknowledge that USERRA doesn't require what PPG does.
Now, you admit that PPG now calculates its differential pay in the manner that was urged by Mr. Gross, right?
That's correct.
What prompted the change?
It's not in the record. What is in the record is that after Mr. Gross returned from his deployment to Iraq, and after he saw how his pay was calculated during that deployment, he didn't agree with it. He filed an internal resolve complaint, which took some time. And at the end, apparently he persuaded PPG that was a benefit that it wanted to extend its employees. It decided at the end, and it is in the record, that it didn't want to go back and retroactively change it. And there's nothing under USERRA that would require it to do so. It would be an administrative burden to do that. It would be a financial burden to do that. What's also undisputed is the policy that's at issue here, which the plaintiffs in their briefs called a simple policy. It's at page 3 in our brief, and let me just paraphrase from it. A salaried employee who is actively at work and called to active duty shall be paid by the company an amount equal to the difference between his or her monthly base salary for their regular schedule and the amount of his or her monthly base pay. Base doesn't have anything to do with military installations, just the pay from either PPG or the military. We agree that that's simple That's a simple calculation. You take the employee's regular PPG salary, you subtract any military pay, and the remainder is a differential that PPG paid as a benefit. It's also undisputed what the intent of that policy was. We submitted an affidavit at summary judgment from a human resources executive at PPG who was responsible for developing and implementing it. He said that the purpose of the policy was to supplement the pay of salaried employees called to active duty such that they would not suffer a loss from their regular PPG pay. He went on to say it was never contemplated that employees would earn more by being deployed than had they never been called to active duty. Another undisputed fact is that one payroll person in Pittsburgh named Jeannie Malley handled all of the implementation of this Attack on America pay differential calculations, and she testified without contravention that she did it in the same manner for all employees covered under this, including Mr. Gross, and she did it in the way that I just described, up until the time in 2007 when PPG chose to amend its policy. The only thing that Mr. Gross pointed to try and rebut this was that he thought it should be calculated differently, and then he pointed to some testimony from a payroll clerk in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, where PPG's Wisconsin facility is, in 2007 questioning how she should calculate weekend military pay, which we would suggest has nothing to do with the resolution of this case when the calculations at issue here were in 2004 and 2005. Getting back to the point that plaintiff's counsel raised, and I raised the specter of early on, the whole issue of whether Cruz was wrongly or rightly decided, we agree with the court, and we agree that it was rightly decided, or whether 4311 applies or 4316 applies, in the end doesn't result in a different outcome. And that's because based on what I just went through, Mr. Gross has failed to show that he was denied any benefit, whether it was a benefit applicable to all employees or a benefit applicable to military employees only. He has not shown that there was any adverse employment action, as Judge Rovner said. There was no adverse employment action. Cruz correctly holds that since USERRA doesn't require that preferential treatment of military employees, that an employer can rescind the policy as it did, as Mount Vernon did in that case. But that doesn't get him, Mr. Gross, anywhere because there's no allegation and no evidence that PPG ever rescinded or diminished its policies, his military pay differential policies. Similarly, 43, and by the way, and as we pointed on our briefs, this issue was never raised by plaintiff's counsel at summary judgment. We cited it in our summary judgment brief. Both sides filed dueling summary judgment motions. Cruz, and so they had three chances to brief Cruz. They never mentioned Cruz once in their briefs. It's waived. It shouldn't be allowed here. Similarly, on the discrimination issue, they went through a litany in their complaint, and I've reread the complaint several times. Nowhere is 4311 mentioned in their complaint. But in any event, for the same reasons that I just went through, Mr. Gross failed to show that he was discriminated in any way, that he was treated differently than any other employee, military employee, non-military employee. He wasn't. PPG applied its policy consistently. So if there are no other further questions, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Now, you used up all your time, but I will give you a minute.
Just addressing the last two points of opposing counsel, Your Honor, 4311 doesn't have to be mentioned in the complaint. In the complaint, paragraphs 13 through 20, the appendix established all the sufficient facts to put them on notice of both the discrimination and the retaliation claim. This court has said, I don't remember the name of the case, but the liberal pleading complaint is not intended as a practice for where one misstep by counsel is sufficient to cause demise to the entire case. What pleading complaints and the summary judgments afterwards have to do is put them on notice. Summary judgment motions and leading up to the court's decision help refine those issues. Those issues were addressed in the complaint. Number two, we didn't have to raise Cruz below because we didn't realize that the court would look to Cruz as the final decision. We cited Pepsi, We cited the statutes. We cited benefits of employment. We asked this court to look at Cruz again and consider it in light of the interpretation of 4311, 4303, and the liberal standards that apply to USERRA and veterans' rights benefit statutes. And we ask that you send this back to the trial court. Thank you.
Thank you both so much. Thank you. And the case will be taken under advisement. And